Okay, we're up to Yirmiyah, Perek Beis, Pasik Lamed. Okay, Pasik Lamed, Lashav, Hikisi Espenechem, Musa Lo Lokochu, Ochlo Charbechem, Nivi Echem, Ke'arye Mashchis. Okay, so here Yirmiyah says that for Shav, Lashav means for nothing. For nothing, and we'll see soon a few different interpretations of what does he mean to say with this expression for nothing. Simply means that it was of no benefit. Normally, when a person punishes someone, there's a benefit. The benefit is that you learn your lesson and you do not continue to do harm, to do evil. Lashav hikesi es b'neichem. So we'll see over here that we're going to see soon the Midrashim is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that in the event that you sin, your children are your guarantors. Ba'avoin, for the sins of the parents, the children are taken from this world. Why that should be so, it's hard for us to understand. But that's what Chazal say, that the children, they suffer due to the sins of their parents. So you would expect that when parents see that their children are suffering because of their sins, they would do tshuva, and they would change their ways. But it turns out it was lashav. Lashav, hikesi es b'neichem, I punished you by taking away your children, by harming your children, and you did not learn the lesson. Musar lo lokachu, the lesson, the musar of the children being taken was not taken, period. And then it goes on to describe some other sins that Klal Yisrael were guilty of. Ochlu charbechem nivyechem, your sword killed your prophets, and we'll see this refers to Yeshaya. Yeshaya was murdered at the age of 120 by his own grandson, Menashe. Menashe murdered Yeshaya Hanavi. Also, Chur, the time of the Chet or Egel, Chur was murdered by Klal Yisrael when he protested to the making of the Egel. And Zechariah ben Yehoyada was also the third one, right? It's also mentioned over here in Rashi and Mefarshim. There's also Zechariah ben Yehoyada. He was murdered when he gave Musar to Klal Yisrael not to worship idols on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash, and his blood was bubbling for a very long time until Nebuzaradan wanted to take revenge for the spilling of his blood. Ke'arye mashchis, you were like a lion that destroys. That's so one of the Mepharshim explained is that they're different, that some animals, when they destroy their prey, they only do it to eat, they're hungry. So they don't even realize how much torture they're bringing upon their victim. They're hungry, so they attack another animal and they consume the animal. But an arye, a lion, when it attacks viciously without any benefit. It doesn't have any intent to eat from the meat of its victim. It just destroys for the sake of sport. Klal Yisrael also, they were guilty. They absolutely had nothing to gain from bringing harm upon their prophets, upon their tzaddikim. Let's see the... Okay, but it says here that an Ari, that's what it says. Okay, I don't know.
Hyenas and jackals come to eat the bones.
Of what?
Of the lion. What the lion has left over.
Okay, but it says here that an Arye is a mashkes. It's Arye, and the first thing explained that it's mashkes. It's not like other animals. It, at times, it destroys, it rips apart animals even when it has no intent to eat their meat. Let's see the Mitzudos David. Pasik Lamid. Lashav al chinam, for nothing. Again, there was absolutely no benefit. He came to Yisbenechem. Came and sin shash. Im kol zel loy laku havas musar. Since you did not take musar, vadayn amdim b'mirdam, and you remain in your rebellion. V'chol etzem kavanas hakol habanim hayilaman yivasru ha'avos. The only reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rachman Lassan, he brings upon punishment upon the children's order that the parents should take musar. They did not take musar, so therefore it was all for nothing. Achla. Ki charbechem hargo es neviechem, your swords killed your prophets. Ki hargo es Yeshaya v'Yeshacharia. So the two examples that Rashi and the Metzudos chooses to select are Yeshayahu and Zecharia ben Yehoyada. They were killed by Klal Yisrael. Menashe killed Yeshaya and Klal Yisrael, they killed Zecharia ben Yehoyada. Ke'ari hamashkes me'adam, like an Ari that is mashkes b'nei Adam. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Lamed Lamid la shavi kesi al chinam, the same exact thing for no reason. Ki loy hoyle did not help sheikh Musa, he did not learn the lessons. Ochlo charbechem es neviechem harakta es zecharya ves yeshaya. So kamat the Rashi is saying kamat exactly the same thing as the mitzudo stavit. Okay, let's see the radak. The radak pasik lamid la shav. Lashav Omar Bineichem. Why now the Radak is asking, are we switching from Bineichem to Kulchem? In the previous Pasik Chavtes, Lama Sarivu Elai Kulchem, all of you. And now in Pasik Lamed, it tells us Lashav Yikesiyas Bineichem. So the Radak explains, Omar Bineichem, Lufi Shama Kulchem, Omar Lama Atem Mariv Malai, Vim Toyma Lama Animaki Eschem Biyad Ha'ivim. Why am I hitting you through enemies? Atem Peshatem Bi, you have sinned against me. The Imtoimu Lama Animake Bineichem. Why am I then hitting your children? Lefi Shehem Lenedim Mikatnusam Ledaber Shof. Because they are more guilty. They are worse than you. In other words, he's saying over something very powerful, is that the adults are not as bad as the children. Why are the children worse? Because the children have been trained from their youth to be evil. If the parents are evil, the parents, they had a good upbringing. The parents have chosen to be evil. So the truth is that deep down, the parents have within them the possibility to do tshuva because they have been brought up well. The children, on the other hand, have been brought up in a corrupt environment. So they're thoroughly wicked. They're thoroughly evil. And therefore, that is why they are the ones that are going to be punished. And notice also the Radak is translating the word Lashav not to mean for no reason. Lashav means because they have been lemedim mikatnusam ledaber shav. And this really borders on the Medrash, which we'll see in a moment, is that ba'avon nedarim and ba'avon false oaths. When people swear falsely, a shavua shav, children, Rachman Litzlan, die. When we have a society where people, the word swearing falsely means nothing, in this sin, children die. And the Gemara actually learns it out from this pasuk, Lashav, al iske shav, due to dealings of shav, of swearing falsely, he kasi yetz b'nechem, Rachman Litzlan, children die. That's really what the Tag Bola here is coming to, the Radak is coming to draw from. Lefi shem lemeidim likatnusam ledaber shav. Children, these children have been taught from their earliest youth to speak falsehoods. V'im b'yashim oysam nevi Hashem, and if the Nevi'im will give these children Musa lo lokachu, they're not going to receive, take the Musa well. In Cain, Lama Terivu Eli, why then do you quarrel with me? Okay, so this is the simple interpretation. And now we come to Yoinason Tirgim Lashav Limagon, for nothing. Okay, Lashav Kaloimar Bechinam Hikesi Oysam, for no reason. Ki Musa lo lokachu, Limagon means for no reason whatsoever. Meaning that according to the Targum, which we'll read in one moment, what he's telling us is that, like, it's the interpretation of the Mitsudos and Rashi. You did not learn the lesson. I gave you Musa, and you did not take the Musa seriously. Kaloimar Bechinam Hikesi Benechem Ki Musa lo lokachu, period. Rabbi Sainz Chom Lerocha Perishu Lashav Al Iske Shav Shamu Baal Voy Nedarim Bonim Mesim Shenemar Lashav Yikesi Esbenechem Musol LaLokachu, you did not take the Musa. Okay, so he's going back and forth between these two interpretations. Either means you did not learn the lesson, or because of the sin of Shav you were punished. Next, Achlo Charbechem Neviechem, your sword has eaten your prophets. Yesh Mefarshim, this means Ki Omar Ze Al Zecharia Vi Al Uria Hanevim Sheharagum. Okay, on Zecharia and Uriah, when was Uriah? What? Yeah, I'm not sure. I was also wondering the same thing. I don't know. I'm not familiar with this. I'm not familiar what this means. Al Zechariah. David.
Oh, that would be it,
huh? Uriah Hachiti. David, but he wasn't a Navi.
Oh, not well.
Val Zechariah, Val Uriah, Val Uriah Hanavim. I'm not sure who Uriah. Maybe he's referring to Yeshaya, who's also called Uriah. I don't know. Let's leave it with that. Shaharagum, the Ein Zaperish Hanochain. So he says he does not like this interpretation, is that you went and you killed your Nevim. Rather, he says something very different. Rather, Kilo haya oimer ein ze perish noch kilo haya oimer nevi echem kilo hayu nevi echem ela nevi kilo haya oimer nevi echem, because then it should say lashav har ochlo charbechem nevi echem kilo hayu nevi echem ela nevi hashaker. Kmosh Amar Koyhanehem Univiehem, like it says, Nivieehem, El Hanoch, I'm not sure, let's read a little bit more. El Hanoch, Kmosh Perish Adoni Avi Zechroinim Levrach, Amar Nivieehem, Shehem Nivie Hashaker. He seems to be saying is that if we're really referring to Nivim that are Tzadikim, if I'm not mistaken, then the Pasuk should say, Ochlo Charbechem Nivieehem. The correct word would be with a hey. The fact that it says Nivieehem, that implies a different connotation, which means is that the Charbechem is going on the Nevi'echem. In other words, your false prophets killed you with their swords. Omar Nevi'echem, Shehem Nevi'a Sheker, Atem Haraktem Oysam, Kishamachem Divrehem. You killed them when you heard their words, Univuasam Garmo Lochem Ibud Hanefoshes. Lefichok Omar Ke Arye Mashkis Shemas Shkis Habosar. I apologize, I don't know what this means. The only thing I saw is another one of the Sfarim. It explains it to mean that, I think maybe that's what he's alluding to over here, is that your false prophets killed you. Ochla Charbechem, your swords killed you. Who are the swords that killed you? It's Nevi'echem, your false prophets. Your false prophets served as a sword that stabbed you. They told you false things. And by doing so, they destroyed your neshama, and they caused you to be nichshol in terrible sins. And then he gives an example, Ka'ari Mashkis, Shemashkis Abasa, Vikore Kiram Bitarfoi, Kain Atem, Hishchatem, Oysam, Benavshesam, Uvigufoysam, so too. You, Atem means you, the false prophets. You, the false prophets, destroyed the guf and the neshama of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so this, I believe, is the simple interpretation. Okay, so to review, what do we have here in the pasuk? One more time to review. The pasuk over here says, "Lashavi kesi es b'neichem." Musul lo lokachu. Two interpretations. Either it means lashav, it was a waste. It was a waste that I killed you. You did not that I had to kill your children because you did not take the mussar. Or it means lashav al iskeshav, because you were nichshol in nedarim, you were nichshol in false oaths. I had no choice but hikcs b'neichem. I had no choice but to kill your children. And then lachu musul lachu, because you do not take the musar. Ochlo charbechem is nevi'echem kari mashkis. Two interpretations. Either it means that you killed your prophets, Yeshaya, Hor, and Zechariah, or it means ochlo charbechem, the swords have eaten you up. Who are your swords? They are none other than nevi'echem. Okay, let's just see the Targum for the sake of completion. Pasuk Lamed. Targum Pasuk Lamed says, Lashav Lamagon. Lamagon means for nothing. Lamagon ak al kesi yas b'neichoin. I took away the life of your children because ulfan lo kabilu, they did not accept my teaching. Katlas char b'choin nevi'echoin, your sword killed your prophets. Ke'arya dimchabel, like a lion that tears apart. Next pasuk. Pasuk lamed aleph. Hador. Okay, now this is a very difficult expression. Hador appears to be a stand-alone word. Hashem here is addressing the nation. Yirmiyah is speaking to the nation, to the generation, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hador. This generation that I'm speaking to, Atem Ru'u Dvar Hashem, you should see the word of Hashem. Now, really, what he means to say is, listen to Hashem, listen to what I'm about to tell you. But the listening that I'm telling you should be done visually. He was the first, Yirmiyahu was the first one to invent multimedia. He gave a video presentation of his message. It was like a dinner. He went and he presented a message through the form of seeing. And that could simply mean is that Yirmiyahu over here had the koyach of what we know by Matan Torah, the Chol Ha'am Royim Es HaKoylos. When we deal with Nevuah, Hashem is the ultimate source of Nevuah. Hashem is the source of Nevuah. Nevuah is described in terms of seeing. So therefore, when he presents the message, he speaks to Hadar, this generation. Notice he's not speaking he's referring to them in their time, in their generation, and that's very important. That's important. Very, very important for the end of the pasuk. Why he's focusing on a specific generation instead of focusing on a group of people, but he's focusing, in other words, because the excuse we're going to see in a moment that what Yirmiyahu here is coming to address is an excuse that has been presented in every single generation. And that is, what do you want from us? We're not like our forefathers. Niskatnu hadaros. Every generation makes excuses. We're not on a madrego where we are able to fulfill all of the mitzvos of Hashem like our grandparents and our great-grandparents. When they lived in Europe, they did not have the distractions that we have today. They didn't have all of these advances in technology which can distract us and draw us to do all the various averos. Or, we all know, it's a fact, niskatnu hadaros, that we don't have the minds and the hearts of our ancestors. A few hundred years ago, it was no big deal for a person to know Kol HaTorah Kula. I told you many times the story with the Chafetz Chaim, that he said, the Chafetz Chaim said that when he was a child, when he was very young, there was a story where a person was 14 years old, and he did a very good shidduch. And shortly thereafter, the shidduch was broken, and they broke off the shidduch. The other side, the Kala's family, broke off the shidduch. And the reason was because of deception. They claimed it was deception. What was the deception? Because they were told that this boy, he finished Shas by the time he was 13 years old. And they later discovered it was not true. He didn't finish Shas until he was 14 years old. The truth, that's what it says, it's in his biography. So today a person can be 90 years old, and does he really know Shas? Just because he goes to Daf Yomi, it doesn't mean that he knows he finished Shas, he knows Shas. So to us, it sounds like a joke, but going back 150 years ago, it was serious business. The people took these things very seriously, and they were able to do so. Today, no one's on them. Today, the average person is not on a madrega like this. So we make excuses. We're not like our grandparents. We don't have that ability to conquer, to accomplish, to achieve like they did. So therefore, we should not be held to the same standards and demands of the Torah. This is exactly what Yirmiyahu is coming to address. Hador, just because you are a later generation, he's speaking here to the last generation of the Bayis Rishon, you are no different. Don't make any excuses. And we're going to see that in the pasuk. Okay, but another idea, but the point we want to make over here is Dador, comma, put a big comma, I want to address this generation. Ru'u Devar Hashem, listen to me. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me with your eyes. V'chol ha'am roi mesakolas. We'll see in a few moments the very popular medrash is that Yirmiyahu, in fact, did a visual presentation by going into the base in Kodesh HaKodashim and retrieving the mon, the tzinsenes hamon that Hashem told Moshe to put in the Kodesh HaKodashim, and Hashem told Moshe to put it for this generation. A generation will come along at a later point in time and say that we do not have the time to learn Torah. We cannot afford to support yeshivos, kollelim, people sitting and learning Torah, because we need to make parnasa. In ein kemach, ein Torah. So Yirmiyah said, look at Klal, he took out the man from the Kodesh HaKadosh, and he said, look, when Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, no one was working. There was no means of making a livelihood. And Hashem provided Parnasa by giving the man. Just like Hashem provided Klal Yisrael with the man in the time of the Midbar, Hashem will provide Parnasa for you in this generation as well, Hadar. Every single generation, if they really want, if a person really wants, he will find a way to support himself and study Torah. It's no different in this generation. I remember there's a story in Torah Das many years ago, a story was written up, where a fellow, this is before the days of the computer age, where not everything was all the dots, all the I's were not dotted, all the T's were not crossed, where a fellow came to a palm and said that the bank made a mistake. The bank, he did it, it was some type of transaction, and the bank made a mistake, and they gave him like $20,000 more than he really owns, a non-Jewish bank. And it's a Torah Sakum, and this fellow claimed to Rav Pan, this goes back many years ago, there is no way in the world the bank will be able to figure out, to realize their mistake. It is a pure Torah Sakum, and it's just not going to happen. Today that's an impossibility to say such a thing, we all know that. With the world of technology that we have today, it just does not exist. But this is the story. So he said to Rav Pan, if I don't give back the money, I'll be able to sit in Kollel for at least another year. And if I do give back the money, as I know you're going to want me to give back the money to make a Kiddush Hashem, that was Rapam's policy, is that you should not rely upon Torah Sakram in this generation. You should make the Kiddush Hashem, give back the money. I'm going to have to go to work immediately. So what's very powerful is Rapam said to him, he says, give back the money. Don't rely upon Torah Sakram. Give back the money. And as far as you complain to me that you're going to have to go to work, if you really want to sit and learn, I'm sure you'll find a way to sit and learn, even if you give back the money. Don't make excuses. Don't make excuses and say you need this $20,000 to sit and learn. If it really means so much to you,
$20,000.
What?
His wife needs the $20,000.
Whatever. But
what happened at the end?
At the end was he gave back the money, and I think he went. He sat and learned. It's very powerful. Very powerful way. What he said. Hadar. What, you think this generation is different? Yirmiyah said different generation of the Dor HaMidbar, where Hashem gave you the Tzinsenes Haman. Look at the Tzinsenes Haman, see it. Ru'u Devar Hashem. If you really want to sit and learn, do not worry, Hashem will provide for you Parnasa. I know, easier said than done. Okay, I know I'm saying over here words, but it's not, obviously, doesn't work for everyone.
And relying on government to give you money?
No, that's not. Obviously not. That's not a Mahalach. No, I probably didn't say that. No, that's not, obviously, that's not a mahalach. To go on government programs, that's not a... Let's go further. Hamidbar Hayisi Lishol. Next three words. The very complex pasuk. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, was I a desert to you? When I took you out of Mitzrayim, I took you in the desert. Did you sense that you were in a desert? The Medrash elaborates, I provided you with Avraham, I provided you with Moshe, Miriam, and Aaron. In the Zechus of Moshe, you were provided with the Mon. In the Zechus of Miriam, you had the Be'er Mayim. In the Zechus of Aaron, you had Anani Yaakovot. You were living in the desert in a 5-star hotel. Did you sense that you were in a desert? Hamidbar, Hayisi Li Yisrael. In Eretz Ma'pelah, did you live in a dark land? There was the Amud Ha'esh. The Amud Ha'esh illuminated your journey through the desert. Maduo Omru Ami Radnu. I'm going right away to the Drush. Why do you dare say to me Radnu? Well, we've seen the first in a few moments, we're going to see many interpretations of the word Radnu. But right now I want to focus on one, and that is, why do you say that we have descended? Niskatnu Hadoiros. Again, like we mentioned before, this is the excuse that every generation presents. Niskatnu Hadoros. We're no longer on the Madrega of our grandparents, our great-grandparents. We can't be held accountable. accountable to high standards. We have descended. Lech reid. Radnu. We have descended. Lo novo od elecha. We can no longer go forward and reach the madrig of the previous generation. Yirmiyah here is coming to reject such an argument. If you have big hasagos, you will achieve. If you have kleiner hasagos, you will fail. Rav Chaim Siegel and Chaim Bullen, he was very famous for telling other mechanchim that a high school, that a boy in high school is a boy in elementary school is a baby. An adult is supposed to be an adult, whatever that means. A boy in high school is somewhere in between. Somewhere in between. He can be a baby. I've seen a lot of high school 12th graders, a bunch of babies. And then you see some schools where high school students, there, you know, there's responsibility. There is maturity. There is dignity. So he would tell mechanchim, if you treat them like babies, they will be babies. If you treat them like adults, they will be adults. If you take an elementary school, take a 6th grader and treat them like an adult, it's not going to work. It'll be a disaster. You can't treat a 6th grader like an adult. It just doesn't work. And if you treat an adult like a baby, it also doesn't work. A high school boy is somewhere in between, and it all depends on how you behave. Yirmiyahu over here is saying, have big hasagas. If you want to go say radnu, we're on a low madrega, we have kleina hasagas, yeah, then you're right. Then you'll accomplish absolutely nothing. You'll have nothing. But if you don't say that, if you don't live with an attitude of radnu that we have descended to a low madrega, but instead you put your sights, you aim high, you have big hasagas, then you will succeed in accomplishing things that you could not even in the wildest imagination can imagine. You just have to have big hasagas. These two words are critical. These two words are the focal point of the entire pasuk. Hadar. Hadar is the first word of the pasuk with the word radnu. These two words go together. It is the nature of every generation to say radnu. We're on a lower madrega than the previous generation, and this is what Yirmiyah says. Madua amru? Why do you say such foolish things? You can accomplish in this generation more than they accomplished in the previous generations. Adarabba v'adarabba. Take all of the advances of technology and use it in your favor to do things that you could not possibly have imagined. Look, today, the average person has the ability to learn anything he wants. It's really remarkable. Years ago, when I was a child, you want to learn Yerushalmi? Yerushalmi was a closed book. Forget it. Don't even try. Even you want to learn Mishnayos? You want to learn Masechta Kelim? You won't even learn Mishnayos Masechta Zeruin? Forget it. Don't even waste your time with this. You won't even learn Daf Gemara. Okay, even Daf Gemara, regular Daf Gemara, you won't learn Masechta Chulin. You won't learn Masechta Zvachin. It's a closed book for the average person. What are you going to accomplish? Today, there's almost no miktsaya in Torah that you cannot purchase a sefer, whether it's article, whether it's another publisher, whether it's go and listen to shiurim online, whether it's all the various forms. There's nothing today that is outside the reach of the average simplest person. The simplest person in high school, if he wants, can learn anything that he wants, can accomplish anything, because all the tools today are available. It's a metzias. And therefore, don't go say, oh, my great-grandfather, he was able to learn Kol HaTorah and I can't. Adrabi, you have more opportunity to learn Kol HaTorah than your great-grandfather, then you have all the tools, you have all the technologies available to you. These two words go together. Yeah?
So, what is happening here? People are acknowledging that they've reached the bottom, they've reached the pit. They can't come back. Is that what's going on here?
Yeah.
They themselves know that they should come back.
No, well, they're making excuses. Yirmiyah is saying that it is the nature of every generation to look to the previous generation. Why do you say this?
And they're saying we can't come back anymore.
Right. Right.
That's what
they're saying. We can't.
So they acknowledge that they should come back.
Well, if they're making the statement, they're acknowledging what's being demanded of them. And Yirmiyah is saying that you're making a very big mistake. Okay, now I told you one of many perushim on this, but this is the pasuk which resonates, this perush resonates with me. Radnu is to descend, Hador is an address to every generation, and that's
so the... So is Yirmiyah holding out hope for them? If you want to come back, Hashem will take you back. Please come back.
He's telling them that you change your frame of mind. He's not just telling them to do tshuva. He's telling them much deeper. He tells them you have to have big hasagos, great aspirations. Don't live a life where you believe you're a failure, that you're limited to what you can do. If you believe that you can accomplish whatever you want, you will accomplish whatever you want. But if you live with an attitude that you're a failure, then you will be a failure.
Spend so much time telling us that we're nowhere near the McGregor of the generations that preceded us. You can't go to.
So Yirmiyah is saying that's wrong. Yirmiyah is saying that to some degree that's wrong. There has to be a balance. Obviously there's a balance. There's no one today in the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have people today on the Madrega of the Vilna Gaon. We don't have a Chafetz Chaim today. We don't have these people. That's a fact. Okay, you're right. But yet, there has to be a balance. Just because that doesn't mean that there cannot be new people who accomplish, who achieve incredible things that were not achieved in previous generations.
So when Gemara says, I'm reading in Shkola now, and I think it's Rav Zera, says that the previous generation were malachim, were like people.
That's the other end of the balance. You're right. They're both true. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chan. There has to be respect. There has to be humility. There has to be a humility. There has to be a balance. The point is, there has to be a balance. If you take what you, the Gemara that you're quoting, Masechta Shkolim, to the extreme, you're living a life of depression. You're a depressed person. You just throw in the towel. You might as well close up shop. There's nothing more to do.
What the Shaman just said is correct, Mara. But you just said, I know I can't be like my forefathers, because if they're greater, they're malachim. We're not malachim. I can't do what they did.
That's still not an excuse. Yirmiyah is still saying that's still not an excuse to throw in the towel. Doesn't matter. Madu amru ami radinu. Don't say that. Don't say that you've descended to a level where you can't accomplish anything. You can accomplish significant things with the talents that Hashem has given you. There has to be a balance. That's all I mean to say. Let's see the Mitzvah Stavin, run through the Mepharshim. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Hador Atem. Atem b'nei Hador. Now it seems over here that he's putting these two words together. There's a debate among the commentators. Do you put the word Atem with the word Hador? Or do you put the word Hador, you put the word Hador as separate, and then you take the next two words, Atem u'dvar Hashem, together. The Ta'amim, the Trop, would seem to indicate that you separate. Hador, comma. He's addressing the generation. Atem ru'u devar Hashem. But the Mitzudas puts the two together. Hador atem. Atem b'nei Hador. Ru'u b'havona salev es mitzvos Hashem asher yesh tashlum gemul aleihem. Look that there is reward. There is reward for good deeds and there is punishment for sin. Habidbar, v'chi ad heino hayisi liyisrael kabidbar v'eretz mapela. Was I like to you like a desert? And like a mapela means a dark land. We're going to see different interpretations. The Mitzudos in Tzion, he says it means darkness. Eifel. Eifel is one of the words of Gehenim. Gehenim is called Eifel. There are seven names for Gehenim. That's one of the words of the names of Gehenim. Eloshim Eifel v'choshach. Okay, so next, and that's what we do in the two of the sealants, is when you want to intensify something, you add a yud k. In Shir Hashirim, a flame, an intense fire. Eish shal hevesya. Shal hevesya. It means an intense fire. Okay, so back to the Mitzvah Stavid. Eretz Mafela Asher Lo Yemitzah Sham Dei Tzorech Adam. Was I to you like a desert? Return to Loimar V'chi Lo Hoya Sibik B'yadi L'Shalim G'mul Toiv Al HaMitzvah Sh'asu. Is it not within my power to provide you, reward you, to reward you for the deeds? So here, when according to the Mitzvah, is the need does not refer to accommodations. I told you a different interpretation when we translate the pasuk. And Tosafot here is telling us is hamidbar means don't think that you're not going to be rewarded for your good deeds. Whatever you do, you'll get it. It's like a desert. I'll do good deeds and nothing will come of it. I'll be empty. It'll be like a desert. No, if you do a mitzvah, you will be rewarded. You'll be rewarded. I'm not going to be to you like a desert. Radnu kmo nigdalnu mimcha. The Sutta says the word radu means separation. Separation. Why do you, my people, say radnu? Why do you say that Hashem has separated Himself from us and will never return to us? Why do you say? Why do you separate from Hashem? Radnu kvar nivdalnu mimcha. We have already separated ourselves from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'loy navo orilecha. We can no longer come near you. Okay, that is the parish of the Mitzudos, Rashi, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Ru'u Dvar Hashem. Okay, so notice, Ru'u Dvar Hashem, Hoytzi Lechem, Tzinsenes Hamon, Omar Lechem, Ru'u Kan, Ma Dibir Hashem, Ma Dvar Hashem Moyel. So this Rashi quotes the Medrash we mentioned before. The reason why it says, see, is to tell them that he illustrated by taking the Tzinsenes Hamon, he was trying to tell them they should study Torah, to not to spend the entire day working, devote some time to Torah. You know what the Chavetz Chaim says? Chavetz Chaim says that a person should not work more than 3 hours a day. Okay, so much for the 8-hour workday. What?
Most people don't.
They don't? We all the work only if you work for the city. Okay? Only if you work for the city. Okay. Chavetz Chaim says you only have to work 3 hours a day. Okay, don't try that at home. It doesn't seem to work in the last 100 years, but Yirmiyah says you have to spend time learning, and Hashem will provide parnasa. Hamidbar hayisi liyisrael loshon temuhu. This is a rhetorical question. Lekach nikuda mem rafui. That's why the mem here. There's no dot in the mem. It's And there's a patach under the hey bechata patach. It's a question. Hamidbar hayisi li Yisrael klum did me lavosechem shu midbar. Did I appear lavosechem shu midbar kishu midbar kishahol kubo? Did I to your forefathers who lived 440 years ago when you came out of Mitzrayim? Did I let them feel that they were living in the desert, even though they were truly in the desert? This is Ru'u. That's the association with Hamidbar. I gave them the Mon. That's why we associated with the word Ru'u. See the Tzinsenes Hamon. Did they sense that they were in the desert when I took them out of Egypt? I provided them with lechem. Sharati lohem lechem zed dvar yom yom every single day. Ma'afela, l'shoin choyeshech, similar to the parish of the Mitzudos David. Ma'adua omru ani radnu. Why do you say that you have separated nivdalnu mimcha? Someone who takes down bread from them. So here's thing over here. Medrash kach, medrash Rabbi Tanchuma, or Menachem Perushu. So the sources explain the medrash. The medrash elaborates and says, if you have bread, we know that the way they would bake bread in ancient times was they would slap the bread on the wall of the oven. Obviously, we're not making matzah the right way, because you've never seen someone slap matzah onto the wall of an oven. They put the matzah on a tray on the floor of the oven.
Well, they weren't worried about far.
Okay, but the way to make bread
on a rock.
Yeah. Okay, but the Gemara, the way bread was made in the time of the Gemara was in a tanur, and there's an open fire on the bottom, and you take dough and you stick the dough to the wall of the inside, to the wall of the oven. The wall is in direct, kind of, is direct, directly above the flame that's burning below, and the bread is stuck. It cleaves to the wall of the oven, and then when the bread is just about, you have to know the exact moment when the bread is just about fully baked. You have to take a special tool and peel the bread from the wall of the oven. If you peel it too early, the bread is not baked. If you peel it too late, the bread has been burnt. And here's the trick. The trick is, once you peel it off the wall of the oven, you can't stick it back on. So if you peel it off the wall of the oven too early, that's it. It goes in the garbage. The bed has not been baked, and there's nothing you can possibly do, because that's the nature of the business. It doesn't stick on the wall of the oven once you peel it off. It's exactly what Klai Yisrael here is saying to Yirmiyah. Radnu, we're like bread. Bread that has not been fully baked. We're not good people. We have not achieved what was demanded of us. We've been separated from the wall of the oven. And it's too late. Once you peel bread that's not been perfected, that's not complete from the wall of the oven, it's too late for tikkun. The dough has to go in the garbage. You can no longer attach it to the wall of the oven. That's why the Medrash says, that's why they selected this very specific word for separation. It's not just that we did aveiro. So the tshuva, they're saying more. We're like the bread, radnu, we can no longer return. This is Rashi's first interpretation. It's similar to the Mitzvah Sabbah, but he elaborates with the Medrash. Then he goes to his second interpretation, Menachem Peresh, radnu loshem yirida. Okay, that's the interpretation I told you. And the drush, that's really more of a drush, is that we have descended spiritually. We have descended, we are no longer able to achieve the accomplishments of our predecessors, and therefore there's no purpose in trying to move forward. The Ode, Panim Acherim, and then he has other interpretations which we'll see right now in the Radak. Radak has another very important interpretation of Radnu. Let's see the Radak, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Hadar. Okay, let's see, let's try to figure out the Radak. Hadar, Hahei, we have over here a Hei, Hey hakriya, kehei hakohol. Chuka achas lochem hakohol is another pasuk. The pasuk in Bamidbar, hakohol. Chuka achas lochem. So he's showing that there is a parallel to this expression in Bamidbar, where Moshe Rabbeinu addresses Klal Yisrael with a single word, hakohol. I want to address the assembly. And my message to you is chuka achas yelochem. There should be one law for you. The law, I think, this is referring to whatever it is. Chuka achas lochem. What?
I think it's the end of Shalach, or maybe it's Korach.
What's the mitzvah? What's the chuka achas yelochem? It's chala. Go for the. And what's the halacha?
That's in Shalach.
It's in Shalach.
So what's the halacha? It's referring to chala, the mitzvah of chala?
Yeah, it must be.
Chala, okay.
Then it goes with Mishlach.
Okay, so this, we find a similar expression. It's because it's a very, very difficult expression. What do you see such an expression? Hador atem rudvar Hashem? We have a precedent. Hakohol. Chuka achas lachem. Put a comma after the word hakohol. Okay, next.
Stop.
You put a full stop, at least according to the Mitzudos, at least according to the Radak. But according to Rashi and according to the Mitzudos, he puts the first two words together. Hador atem, kama, ru'u devar Hashem. The trap is more is more consistent with what the Radak is telling us, to put a kama after the word hador. Over here in the article, how do they translate it? Yeah, they translate it also the way it says it, like the Radak. Hador, O generation, contemplate the word of Hashem. Okay. Ru'u devar Hashem, havinu mashehu oimer lechem. Pay close attention. Ki yeshu yibolev. So he's coming to address the question. Rashi took it also address, why does it say ru'u? It should say listen. It means pay close attention. Kamo v'libi ro harbe, my heart saw very much. Re'ei devarim, he brings many psukim. Re'ei devarim toivim ve'adayim lohem. U'vidrash, if you want to take the drash approach, it refers to what Rashi says. Ki tzinsenes hamon nehera lohem. There was a visual presentation. He took the mon out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. L'fichach omar lohem u'v'loi omar shimu. Next. Hamidbar ha'yisi. Was all like a desert. Im ha'yisi lohem kamo hamidbar ha'yeretz ma pelim. Like a dark land, shalo yim samchem ha'adam tzarcho, where a person cannot find his needs. Haloi kol tzarchem v'sipuka motzu bi kol zman shalchu acharai. When Klal Yisrael, they went after Hashem, Hashem provided all of their needs. Imke madua omrami, why then do my people say radnu? And now we're going to have a fourth interpretation to the word radnu. So many interpretations for this one word. Radnu klama yesh lanu memshala. Melachim v'sarim, we have authority. Radnu is a code word for a king. Madu amru ami radnu, we have our own malchus, we have our own authority. We have established for ourselves a secular king. And we know
he quotes a pasuk.
Radnu kol miyeshlem memshala malachim v'sarim v'loy navo elecha od. Radnu meinyan rod im kel shu inyan memshala. It means authority. It means a malchus.
Well, that means you have an echo. You mean a rod?
I think over here in the Medrash, he has another interpretation. Here is a little bit more elaboration. Okay, the Medrash says, my Radnu, this is a Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah. Bamidbar Rabbah Aleph, Kemodat Omar, Kihu Roideh B'chol Eiver HaNahar. He rules over the Eiver HaNahar. And the Medrash elaborates, Amru lo Yisrola Kodesh Baruch Hu Nosat lanu es Beis HaMikdash V'silakta es Shechinascha B'menu U'mo Ad Mevakesh B'menu Lo Novoi Oid Eilecha. Then therefore we're no longer going to, once you've taken away from us our authority, our autonomy, our melech, we've gone into Galus, we're no longer going to return to you. And then Akashpa goes on to say, but basically the meaning here is to say is, Madua Omrami Radnu. Now I think there are two different interpretations. Either you can say, put a comma after Radnu, and that's seemingly what the Radak is doing. Madua Omru Ami Radnu. Hashem, we have our own state, our own government, and we want to have nothing to do with you. We have a secular state, we have a secular authority, and Loi Novoi Oid Elecha, you will no longer be our king, you no longer are going to be our authority. Or, do not put a comma. Read it as one stream, even though this is not consistent with the trop. Madu omru ami radnu loy novoy oidelecha. Our malchus will no longer return to you. Once we've gone into galus, once we have been exiled, it's impossible. It's over. It's impossible for our nationhood, our establishment as a nation with a memshala to return to you, Hashem, anymore. Once we go into Golus and we're scattered throughout the nations, Jewish people no longer have a homeland, no longer have a state. So let's see one more time the words of the, let's finish the words. Radikal kolayma yeshem memshala malachim lenova oyelecha radnu meinin rod im kel. Shehu inin memshal, an authority with I'm not sure what that means there. And then he has over here the word ma'afilo. He has also different interpretations of what this word means. We until now have translated ma'afilo to mean dark land. Mila achas b'shav halamid, and the lamid has a shva b'shva halamid ma pe liya. That's a very strange word. The truth is, he says that it's not so clear. There are different traditions as to the correct way to pronounce the word. Yeshem shenokud ma'pela with a patach under the mem. Hamem, the mem is bepatach. The aleph b'shva. The yeshem shenokud b'hem mea peliya, where the mem also has a shva. What's an afkamina? Hamem b'shaval b'patach b'patach v'apei degusha. The people that have a dot. Upeirusha eretz ofel. If you have it with a shva, it means darkness. Ula hagdil ho ofel samach oisalim lasko. V'chein, like what the Mitzudo Sion said, shal he vesya kahare kel, mighty mountains. He's giving different examples. I'm not sure how the examples fit. I think those are grammatical examples. The Yoinus on Tirgame Ma Pela Churbana, a new interpretation. Okay, whether it's Ma Apeliya or whether it's Ne apeliya. The Targum Yonason says churban means a churba, an area that's been destroyed. Ki kmo eretz oifel, a land that is chorav, is like a dark place. Shloyim sabadar ba dover. The Targum Radnu, going back to word Radnu. Now we have, I think this may be a fifth interpretation or sixth. Ital talna, it means to be on the move. We have traveled away. It's similar to the Mesilas that says we have distanced ourselves. To distance, you have to travel. We have traveled away. We have moved. It means metaltlin, people who are moving about.
It's similar
to distance.
To separation.
Separation, right. That's what we said, separation. Okay, so those are the basic interpretations. Now let's just see the Targum, and then we'll summarize everything. The Targum, Pasek, Lamed Aleph. Okay, Targum says, Am Rida Atun, you are a nation. Am Rida Atun, Kabilu Piskamay Dashem, you are a nation of Rida that has descended, that has.
The
order of Radnu.
He says the same thing with Atem.
Atun Kabilu.
Ridu Atem, Devar Hashem.
Ridu Atem. Am Rido Atu. Let's read.
Ridu Atem. See, you can play this word order here in order to.
Put the comma after Rido also. Am Rido. Atem Kabilu is Kamadashem.
What does Rido mean? That's what he's saying later. When he said, Radnu, he said, right. You are low.
He's moving that all the way to the front.
Yeah, you.
Okay, let's read the whole pasuk. Amr do atun kabilu piskamo da Hashem, accept the word of Hashem. Ha kimidbar tzadei, in the midbar tzadei, like a barren. Tzadei means a barren midbar. The les behana, the hava memrid li shol im ka'arach kubana. My words to Yisrael was like a land that's destroyed. Ma dein amaru ami. What do you say? What do you respond to me? Ital telno, we have traveled. Lo nisuv oid lefulchanach, we're no longer going to return to your service. So he's translating that the Radak explained to us that the word ital telno is a translation of the word radnu. So he can't go put that at the beginning of the pasuk. But at the beginning he says hador. Am Rido Atun Hador Atem. So he's telling us that the word Hador does not mean a generation. It means you are Hador Atem. You are a low. I think it means Hador Atem, comma. You are a people that have descended. Or Rido means to go down. Doesn't Rido mean to go down? Okay, I don't know. Let's leave it for now. Let's just go further. I do not know. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Lamed Beis. Try to move ahead. Hasishkach Besula Edya Kala Kishurecha. Does a Besula forget her jewelry? Does a Kala forget Kishurecha, her things that she ties, bracelets, a necklace, and various types of jewelry which she ties around her body? Does it ever happen such a thing that a Kala, a young Kala, will forget her jewelry? Never. Never happens. Yet, the impossible happened. The Ami, my nation, Shechechuni, they have forgotten me. Yamim ein mispar, for an endless number of days. They continue to forget me. They're worse than a Kala who does not forget her jewelry. The Mitzudos David, Pasuk Lamed Beis, tells us, Hasishkach v'chi is it v'chi haderech hu shetishkach habasula lahasim edya aleha liskashet bo. Does a kala forget to put on her jewelry? You ever go to a wedding and the kala was not wearing a white gown? You ever go to a wedding and the kala is dressed in jeans and a t-shirt? Doesn't happen. Kala doesn't forget to get.
No, sir.
One not. Okay, but. It doesn't happen. You go to a wedding and the kala forgets to put on her wedding dress. It forgets to put on her jewelry. It doesn't happen. What are the kishurecha? Hem chuti haneshi, silk. silk strands, which headbands, ribbons that she ties on her hair to beautify herself. Her person does not forget something which is necessary. The ami, yet my people, they have done what is bizarre. I see yamim harbi, many days. The aim mispar lohem, and there's no limit to them. Im shezehu ikri chayeim al adam, even though this is what they need for their lifeblood, this is something which is so basic to them. They cannot live without the ribbono shel olam, and yet they have managed somehow to forget me for a very long number of days. Now notice he says over here, yamim ein mispar. Mispar means number. Days that are beyond number. Rashi lamed beis. Is there a Rashi on this pasuk? Lamed beis? No, there is no Rashi. Let's go right away to the Radak. Pasuk lamed hasishkach besula edya. So he explains to me why there is repetition. Why is there a besula and why is there a kala? He's telling us because we're dealing with a kala. Who is a besula? Besula kala kofel ha'inim b'milo shanus. That's one interpretation. Ki im kala ba'adim v'kishurim ki im besula. Because a kala only puts on jewelry when she is young. A woman who's 90 years old and is getting married for the sixth time doesn't come to the wedding. Very good. She comes with a sword. She comes with a gun. She doesn't come with jewelry. This, that it's customary for a kala to wear jewelry is when she's very young. V'chein in besula be'odim u'v'kishrim kim kishikala. A besula, the average girl who walks in the street, is not wearing expensive jewelry. When she goes to her own wedding, she puts on her expensive jewelry. V'yisrael nimshlu l'kala b'yoyim amin har sinai. So here the Radak adds in some very important understanding that klal Yisrael is compared to a kala b'yoyim amin torah v'ich shachu oisi hayoyim v'holkul achare elohim achedim zek hamayam shon. How could it be there for so many years they forgot about me. When it says here, ain mispar, there's no limit. This is just an exaggeration. It's just saying, because can it really be? We didn't forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ain mispar. We didn't forget it, but it's just coming to emphasize that we've forgotten about HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a very long period of time. Okay, what does the Targum say on this Pasuk Lamed days? Ha'efshar. Could it possibly be this sinshe besulta tikuna? Does a besula forget things that are necessary for her good and welfare? Kalsa kishota. Does a kala forget her jewelry? Yet the amish shivaku pulchani yoimin d'loam minyan. They forgot about me for so many days. I saw a sefer medrash, a very fascinating medrash, that Klal Yisrael, they only were loyal to Hashem. This is an amazing medrash for 2 days. After Har Sinai, so it says in the Medrash, based upon this pasuk. You heard this Medrash before? Yeah. Never heard this before.
Before that, by Elchus Shlosh Yisumim Bamidbarlam, what's the mind? That's why we have to learn every 3 days. Of course, after 2 days, it's over.
That was even before Matan Torah.
Yeah,
right. But this is a different Medrash. The Medrash says after. When did they already start planning to make the Egel? Think about it. So if the average person, well, when Moshe didn't come, Vahiki Vosheish Moshe Lavo, it was the 40 days from Matan Torah, it was midday, Moshe didn't come, they got nervous. So they first started, they came up with the idea. They came up with the idea 40 days after Matan Torah. It's pretty good. That means the Klal Yisrael were at least loyal to Hashem for 40 days. That says something. That says quite a bit about Klal Yisrael. Okay, you're loyal to your wife for 40 days. So the Medrash says, no, don't be so generous. They already entertained the possibility of making an Egel the third day after Matan Torah. They received the Torah. Moshe, on the day of Matan Torah, said to Klal Yisrael, the next day he said, I'm going, see you later guys, I'm going to up to Har Sinai to Mikabel the Luchos. And Moshe left, so they, for one day they behaved, and the second day, that, I think that was really the second day. Moshe was there the first day, Moshe went on the second day, and then already the third day, they started, you know what, maybe we should make an Egel. They started looking around, it started to percolate in the unconscious section.
Was it a substitute for Moshe?
Man has this need to be evil, it seems. I don't know if it's because they need a substitute, but they already entertain the possibility, at least in the subconscious part of their mind, that for the Egel, on the third day after Matan Torah, how do you know it? Prove it to me. The Medrash says, it's this pasuk. Hashem says to Yirmiyah, it says here, V'amir shechechuni, they forgot me, yomim, after 2 days. Yom is 1 day, yomim is plural. They forgot me after 2 days. 2 days, already they forgot me. They already were already preparing to make the Egel. Okay, let's see one more pasuk. Moshe was there for another 38 days. Moshe was in Shemayim for 40 days. So we assume that on day 40, when Moshe was late in their eyes, that's when they first came up with the idea to make the Egel. The Medrash says, no, they already began thinking we should make an Egel already.
It's practically, you know, for example, in Meir Sharim, first the signs go on the wall and say, this is Usher. And then the second sign comes up and says, the committee says, and the third one says, Vad Mishmeres Tzadikim. Then they have a Rabbanan, and then they come up and say,
the mayor says.
Okay, they started planning. Next, let's go one more pasuk. Ma te tiv darkech levake shahava. Why is it good in your eyes to seek love? Meaning to seek. Why is it good in your eyes to seek the love of the nations? We'll read the whole pasuk. Ava lochein gam esaros limadit es dirochayich. You were a teacher. In other words, this pasuk going to tell us is that the Klal Yisrael was so their intensity in worshiping idols was so great they outdid the umos olam. And if the goyim wanted to learn how to worship idols, where did they go? Where were the best schools? Where was the Harvard of Avodah Zarah? In Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael is where you can get the best education on how to worship an idol. That's the Musar he's giving Klal Yisrael. Let's see the Musar for clarity in this pasuk. Ma te tivi darkech, ma tiskani min chokha, ba'avoydes haba la'asos. Why do you perfect yourself? Why, tete means to do good. Why is it that you, not only do you abandon Hashem, not only do you worship idols, you have perfected the service of idols. You have made your way perfect, good. Ma tiskani min chokha, ba'avoydes haba la'asos, b'dimyoin gomor. To do in your ways el maaseho akum levakesh mehem ava ba'asoyzcha kimaseim, to seek their love. You want to be buddy buddy with the umos olam who worship idols by being good with them, ingratiating yourself. Why are you ingratiating yourself to seek the love of the umos olam? Lochein if a beemes kam lochein. Not only that, it's worse. Lochein beemes. He substitutes with lochein with the word beemes kam es ha'akum haros. Lamadato ato es min chagcha. The evil of Avodah Zarah you've learned. Lamadato you've taught es min chagcha. What does that mean? What's the leimar? Ato you herei os la sosios mikulam. You have done worse than the umos olam to the af leherei os shebo the af leherei os shebohem. Lamadato leharshia yoiser kumaycha. You're a good teacher.
And you specialize in bad guys.
To the evil ones, you've taught. You outdid them in order to teach them how to. So if we read the pasuk one more time inside, Ma teitivi darkech levakeh shahava. Why do you make your ways good to seek the love of the umos olam? Like you said, to ingratiate yourself. Why are you trying to do things in order that the umos olam should love you and you should be buddy buddy with them in lochein? Worse, the truth is games horos, the evil limadit. You taught. Through your actions, Esther Ochoich, your ways. You taught the Umos Sa'olam to worship idols like you because you outdid them. Rashi, Tetivi Tiskashti Atzmech, you beautified yourself. Likros Noyafecha, opposite your lovers, referring to the Umos Sa'olam, Kimo, Vatetev Esrusha, the Zevel Biparshas Yehu. Like it says there, that she made herself beautiful. Izevel, when she went out to greet the Melech, when she went out to greet, when she, the Navi, she says that she beautiful, she put on a makeup, she put on beautiful clothing. Gam esar os limadato, chazarto al kol roa derech, you went and you investigated every evil way, lilmoid es hamukulkelas shabukulam, you lamadato, so he's translating over here, does it mean to learn or does it mean to teach? There's really a krivich sif. Limaditi means to learn. Limadit means to teach. So Rashi over here is saying to learn. You've learned all of your ways. Chazar to al kol roya derech lilmoy to learn. Es hamgul kelis mekulam. Gam losh nafilu lochein losh shavua. Lochein therefore is a not like meaning shavua ms. Ach es aderech harosh shabuchol adrochem limata laatzmach. You've taught yourself. According to Rashi, limadato hanhagto, you have become accustomed. So Rashi seems to say different than the Mitzvot is that you have become accustomed to do all of the evil things possible in the world. All right, we'll become an expert in all these things. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll do the redak next.